Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello, and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. We are proud to be the UK's number one legal consumer podcast. Our legal conversation today will be about redundancy, understanding the process, what are my rights? I am joined by Barrister James Tunley from Lamb Chambers in London. James is a specialist employment barrister and he advises and represents both claimants and defendants at all stages of the court and the tribunal process, with particular strengths in employers' liability, discrimination and unfair dismissal, to name but a few. James has delivered lectures and training on employment disputes. James, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Hello.
Always a pleasure to have you. Post-pandemic and redundancies have spiked. Many going through the process have never faced it before. And with the raft of myths swirling around, it is important to understand where you stand if you are being faced with a possible redundancy, or indeed if you're going through one at this time. In this episode, James and I will be bringing you key information that you need to know. We'll be busting the myths and breaking down the legal jargon, explaining the redundancy process and your rights, giving you our top tips, as always, in plain and simple English. James, I'm sure that you've been reading, as I have over the past year, actually, and more so over the past few months, how big, large corporates are laying people off in the thousands. And one of the most common questions that I have seen come up is an employer allowed to make someone redundant?
Well, the simple answer to that is yes. Redundancy is one of those potentially fair reasons for dismissing someone and ending their employment. So in broad terms, a redundancy arises where the business requirements mean that the employer doesn't need the same number of employees as they did before. So it might be, for example, a chain of shops is going to close one branch, and therefore all of the jobs at that particular branch are made redundant. Or it might be, for example,
a restructure or something like
restructure.
That. Yeah.
There's a new
downsizing, trying to reduce costs.
Yeah. It might be that they simply can't afford to have the same number of employees, so they want to cut it down. And you'll see that all of those things are business decisions that, unfortunately, sometimes have to be made.
Yes.
And therefore, because of that, this is how redundancy is arising. So the business decisions can be made, and therefore redundancies, unfortunately, can also be made as a result.
I mean, I was quite surprised when people are asking, you know, can my employer make me redundant? Do they have the right to do it? Yes, as you said, absolutely, employer can make you redundant, but they must discuss their process with you, explaining what is going on, giving you a chance to object or refuse the redundancy. And we're going to go on to that now in terms of the process. But let's talk about redundancy rights and what are the headlines of those, because it may not be common knowledge that you do have rights when it comes to redundancy. And actually, most people don't know their rights, because the last thing you do when you're working away in employment is sit there and think, oh, what happens if my employer says we no longer need you?
Yeah. So the main rights that you get in a redundancy situation, first of all, redundancy pay. And secondly, the right not to be made redundant unfairly. So unfair.
That is a big, broad term, isn't it? And,
yeah.
and that could mean something different to every single person in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are lots of different facets about that. But those two rights, you only have those after you've been employed for at least 2 years with the employer.
Yes.
And yet you're right. So as part of that, what is the unfair dismissal? In a redundancy situation, a fair process has to be followed, and the reason for dismissal, i.e. the redundancy, has to be reasonable as well.
Yes.
Following that fair process in redundancy means warning and consulting with the employees before making any final decisions.
Yes. Pay depends on, like you said, it depends on your length of service, because most people ask, how much am I owed? And I know we're going to sort of mention that in a little bit. So the length of service really does matter on how much. A notice period, you touched on a consultation with your employer, and we are going to explain what is meant by that. But the option to move to a different position with your employer, you know, your employer doesn't have to give you that, do they? They don't have to be able to say, and here's another post that we've created for you, do they, James?
No, they don't have to create another post, but as part of that process, what they do have, there's a positive duty on the employer to look for suitable alternative roles. So if there is a vacancy that the employer is aware of, they have to bring it to your attention and say, would you like to do this? Or we could give you this role. It might be completely different and it might be at a different rate of pay. But if they're having that discussion with you, then it's certainly another option. And it's all about trying to avoid redundancies, because really it should be the last resort.
Yes. Yes, no, indeed. And I think that the key here is a discussion with you. And there's something they term it redundancy consultation. And most people think, well, what is a redundancy consultation all about? So let's talk about that. And let's also look at employers having to give redundancy notice. What kind of notice period should somebody be given?
Okay, well, let's deal with notice first. So in every employment contract, there will be a notice period. Now, the law sets out a minimum, so it ranges between 1 week and 12 weeks, depending again on your length of service, how long you've been employed. So in redundancy, you're entitled to that notice period.
Yes. And 1 week's notice if you've employed between 1 month and 2 years, 1 week's notice for each year after that, so between 2 and 12 years. And then if you've worked for 12 years or more, then 12 weeks notice. That's what the law says. And you said something really key there, because you said the law states. So if your employment contract says anything different to that or doesn't have that in there, and your employer says, well, you've been with us for 4 years, so the notice period really should be the 1 week for the first 2 years and then another 2 weeks for the year three and four that you've been employed. So 3 weeks notice, your employer says, we're giving you a week's notice, then they're breaking the law.
Yeah, you're entitled to that minimum. Some contracts might give you longer.
So yes.
Just watch out for that. But there is certainly a minimum that you're entitled to.
Yes. And also, I think it's really important to mention that during your notice period, you are entitled to take time off of work to find new work, to look for new jobs. Obviously, if you're working, I don't know, let's call it a 3 week notice period, and you say, I'm taking 10 days off because I need to go and find a new job, that's not really going to work. And I think to put it into context, what probably is acceptable, if you say, I need 2 hours off today, I've got an interview to go to, or can I come in an hour late? I'd like to go online and really scour, you know, the market to see what there is. Or I've got, you know, I'd like to go and research and find some recruitment agents and things like that. Okay, so that's pretty clear. Redundancy consultation, very fancy term. In short, it means a meeting with your employer, doesn't it? To sit down and go through it all.
Exactly. It's a discussion about what's going to happen or what's expected to happen. And there are certain rules. If there are 20 or more redundancies expected at one workplace, there are certain rules about when and how that should happen. But in general terms, in every situation, there needs to be genuine and meaningful consultation. Now, you might ask, well, what on earth does that mean? Well, it means...
the average person will ask that.
Exactly. So it's simply having a conversation about what the employer is proposing. So which jobs are expected to be made redundant? Having a conversation about what other options have been explored, and what other options could be explored. So it might be that you're having that discussion with your employer and you say, well, hang on a minute, couldn't you do this? Could I go part-time? Or could we think about a change in the pay if you need to save money?
Yes.
You don't know. I mean, those options might not have been fully explored, but it's having that conversation, that dialogue. And then if the process does move on and there's got to be a selection process, it's about you and your employer having that conversation about, well, what are the criteria that are going to be applied? Mm. Are there any changes that need to be made to that?
I mean, and we mentioned earlier, you know, giving you a chance to object or refuse the redundancy. And I think what you said is really sensible. You know, if you sit down and say, look, I'm refusing the redundancy on this basis because I can see that I can go and fulfill another role or the role in another way, which provides, I don't know, better productivity for the employer. I'm prepared to take the same money, but do a little bit more work. I think you've just got to open these discussions. If you really feel that you don't want to accept the redundancy, and I know it's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? You kind of feel rejected when you're told, I was made redundant years ago, and I couldn't understand it. I just thought, I never understood the process at that time. I wasn't working in the law. I didn't have a clue. But it you feel kind of really dejected by it. But I think that, you know, sitting there and thinking, well, hold on a moment. If I can negotiate perhaps the best exit, then if I'm not being offered another position, if I've sat there and I've given my employer options of how I can refit back into the business in a different form, and that hasn't worked, let's talk about what I can move on to and what the package is going to look like. But another really frequently asked question, because some people get so disgruntled by it and they think, well, you know, I don't want to work a notice period. No, you don't want me. I've given you X amount of years of service. This has come completely out of the blue. And actually, it's been handled in a way which has really upset me. Can someone leave their job before the redundancy period ends? Notice period ends? Excuse me.
Yes, you can. You can agree with your employer that you're going to have an earlier termination date, so you end your notice period sooner. It might be that your contract, most contracts these days do provide for what's called a payment in lieu of notice. So you're paid for your notice period, but your employment ends before that and you don't have to work it. So you get the money for that period that you would have worked.
For the redundancy that you've agreed. And I think it's really key what you just said there. You said some contracts do have that notice in lieu. Check your employment contract or get a copy of it. Because if you say to your employer without sitting down and agreeing with them, I'm leaving, then you're resigning. And you don't want to resign. You need to go through your redundancy process, either by agreement with your employer, i.e., as James said, you don't have to work your notice period, but you will get your redundancy package. Or you say, I don't want to work all of it. Is it okay if I leave earlier? Maybe you found another job, whatever it may be. But do have the conversation and do read your contract. Because if you just get up and say, I'm going, you are effectively resigning, right?
Yeah. And your right to a redundancy payment only arises.
Yes.
If you've been dismissed for redundancy. So if there's any doubt about, you know, if you've left of your own accord and there's any doubt about whether or not you've been dismissed for redundancy, then there's going to be a dispute about whether or not you're actually entitled to that payment.
And that's really key, because I have heard people in the past say, well, do you know what? I'm so upset with them. I'm going. No, I'm certainly not going to go and do a 3-week slog or a 6-week slog or however much it may feel, because it just feels demoralizing. Some people feel demoralized to have to go back into the employment environment. But, you know, I always say, don't burn your bridges. It never helps to burn a bridge. I can say that at my age. I think, James, you're far younger than me.
And also, it might be that during that notice period, if you are working it or you are sticking out until the end, something might change. You never know. There might be another vacancy
Very
that
true.
Pops up.
Yeah.
So, don't burn your bridges. Yes. Good advice. Yeah.
Yes. Do not ever burn your bridges. So let's explain how redundancy pay is worked out, because extraordinarily, that is apparently one of the most Googled sentences when it comes to people trying to work out redundancy. So how is pay worked out? And I know there's a generic kind of formula.
There is. And you can find, I think you can find calculators that will do the hard work for you online. But it's good to know the rationale behind it. So we're talking about statutory redundancy payment. That's the minimum that the employer has to pay.
So by law, statutory redundancy pay is the absolute minimum your employer has to give you. Right, let's go through it.
And that is based on three factors. Firstly, it's your age. Secondly, it's how many full continuous years you've been employed with the employer.
Yeah.
And it's full year. So if you've been employed for 3.5 years, you can only count 3 years, because that's right. The full year.
Okay.
The third factor is your gross weekly pay, the pay before tax.
Yes.
Now, how you work that out is, first of all, you take the number of years that you've been employed and you multiply that by, and this is where the age comes in, 0.5, 1, or 1.5. And just very quickly, if you're 21 and under, it's 0.5. 22 to 40, it's 1. And 41 and over, it's 1.5. Now, I don't want to get too complicated, but let's...
So the law has just become mathematical. That's a first in one of my podcasts. So let's just to simplify even further. So up to the age of 21, you get half a week's pay for each year you've worked.
Yes, correct.
Right. Age 22 to 40, you get 1 week's pay for each year you've worked, providing you've worked a minimum of 2 years. So that is the overall rider. Age 41 and older, you get 1.5 weeks pay for each year you've worked. So the statutory redundancy pay is capped at £571 per week, right? So if you earn £571 gross per week, then that is where you're going to be at. If you earn less than that, so say you earn £300 per week, for argument's sake, then it will be £300 per week. So for, let's just take somebody aged 30. They get 1 week's pay. If they've been working for 5 years, they'll get 5 times £571.
Exactly.
See, does that sound
easy? Yeah.
I'm definitely not the mathematician. But then the length of service is capped at 20 years, isn't it, James?
It is, yeah. So that's there are two caps, as you said, the weekly pay, 571, and the 20 years.
Yes. It's interesting, because your weekly pay is the average you earned per week over the 12 weeks before the day you got your redundancy notice. But it isn't so easy, but that is statutory. That is the what the law says, and the bare minimum. If your employer decides to give you more or has a package to offer you, happy days.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So, okay, I want your top three tips for our listeners, James, that are either, you know, coming up to me, you know, been told they might be made redundant, or they're just about to go through a redundancy process. What are your three tips?
First of all, I think I say, may not surprise you, know your rights, know what you're entitled to.
Read your contract.
Exactly, and what your employer is and isn't able to do. And there's plenty of sources of information. This podcast, for example, listen again. The ACAS website, that's
I was going to mention that at the end. That ACAS is brilliant. I have to say, acas.org.uk, for those of you that are interested, it's basically a free advisory service. Sorry, James, I stopped you halfway there.
No, but go on,
just
go
to say, you mentioned ACAS. It's a free advisory service that's for employees and for employers. And you can pick up the phone and you can ask questions about redundancy or actually any area of employment. And they are there to help you. And it is, I have to say, whoever I've referred to ACAS has always come back saying, thank you. That was great.
Yeah. So that's my first tip. My second one probably comes back to the consultation process and be proactive, I think. And remember that it is, you know, it may feel like, well, all the decisions have been made and this is what my employer is going to do. But you might be surprised if you really engage, ask questions, engage with it, then there might be things that your employer simply hasn't thought of, or that they didn't know Very that you true. Were willing to do. You know, maybe they didn't know that you're willing to go part time or do a different type of job. So things may arise out of that rather than just accept what's happening.
Yes, no, indeed. And I think you're absolutely right, because it could be that if you say, look, I'll do lesser hours, which will give you time to look for other work until you found other work, and maybe you want to find other work on a full-time basis, your employer might accept that. And I think you're absolutely right. People do feel that all the decisions have been made. And I think the bigger the beast, the bigger the corporate, the bigger the company you work for, the more intimidated you can feel, the more singled out, even though you may have other colleagues that have been made redundant at the same time. But I do think that keeping the open, friendly dialogue, remember that, you know, line, never burn your bridges, because you just never know where you've got to cross. And obviously, and we'll do a whole new podcast on this, your employer will very likely have to give you a reference.
Yeah.
For your next position. So if you burn that bridge and singe it to death in an employment tribunal for whatever reason, you might have a very good reason to do that. Just remember that that could affect your ability to obtain a proper, thorough reference for all the time you have given them that has been great, that has been good. So no, that is sound advice and sound tips, James. Thank you ever so much for your time once again. And that's all we've got time for. So thank you very much for joining me, James. What I'll say to our listeners is, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcast. We have over 160 to choose from. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.